Weekday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, long-term listeners to this radio talk show will well remember, if they hark back to the 90s, that the very concept of a Cairns Lagoon was born on this very talk show. So it's critically important when it comes up for discussion, or aspects come up for discussion when the lagoon's involved, that we fundamentally tap into the matter and see if we can oversee a good outcome. What is happening this time, and it's been on and off for years, this matter, when winter comes, they close the lagoon down for upkeep, etc. And it's critically important. It's a very, very complex arrangement below the water there. So that's all tickety-boo, and that's fine. However, it's just when the southerners turn up in their thousands and thousands and thousands with their kids for holidays in Cairns, and they're saying, well, couldn't you pick another time? Now, Brett Olds, as usual, he's always ready to put his toe in the water, if you like, on matters like this. He's done it again. This briefly, it says here that the Deputy Mayor, Brett Olds, says the organisation should not close the Esplanade Lagoon during school holiday periods in other states. Council shut the lagoon on Monday for a month for maintenance work, but received backlash because it coincides with New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia's school holidays. Mr. Olds, alias Oldsy, said he would encourage council to make sure the next closure accommodated the rest of Australia. Good luck, because we've brought this up on several occasions over the years when people have been inconvenienced by it, but the change has never come. Is it going to come now? We'll find out. I've got Oldsy. Where is he? Here he is, Division 9 councillor and these days Deputy Mayor, Cairns Council. Brett Olds, good morning.
G'day, mate. It's never a good time to close it, is it?
Well, that's exactly the quote. That's never a good time, and I know we've travelled down this road on numerous occasions over the years. Look, why this time, and how important is it to bring it to the public attention again, why it happens at this time every year?
Yeah, well, obviously they do it in winter when the beaches are open, so the stingers are gone, everything else, and it's only every 2 years. They do it biannually. So it's every second year. They've got to get in there and replace concrete. And like you said, underground, all the hydraulic stuff needs to be looked at and maintained. So it's a huge operation. They reckon it can take up to 4 weeks, but if you get like bad weather, it can take up 5 or 6 weeks. So I talked to the CEO, and when the Cairns Post called me, I just said to him, look, it sounds like, you know, if we can get a better time, let's look at it. Mm. And that's all I said I'd do, was ask what's going on, because it's operational. It's up to the guys to pick time. So I had feedback, and we got back to the Cairns Post 2 days later and let them know that we've got to work with contractors in there too. They wanted the lagoon open for our school holidays, for the Queensland school holidays. We wanted it open for the Cairns Ironman, and we also wanted it back open in time for the Cairns Festival. So the distance in time between the Ironman and the Cairns Festival is only 6 weeks, and it takes 4 weeks at a minimum, and it could take six. So They couldn't have played with the dates too much this time either, with the contractors as well, when they're available. So, but the next time in 2 years, I just said, look, let's just have a look at it and see in 2026 if there's a way we can fit all the holidays, because, you know, it's no matter when we close it, we're going to get backlash because people just don't like it. You know, it's one of the best draw cards we've got right in the city, right in the CBD there on the Esplanade, the big, beautiful lagoon. As soon as it's got all the fences up and you've got equipment in there, moving sand around, everything else, people don't like it. So I just said we'd look at it, and we will. We'll see if next time we can keep it open for all the school holidays. But if we kept open school holidays and had all that work done during the Ironman, that would have been a way bigger issue. Mm. So it's, the council does a good job. So sometimes when I get those comments in the paper, officers are like, who's this prick? He's this operational. What's he talking about? But I just said I'd ask questions and point out if it was possible.
Look, while I've got you there, Brett, because you've got your finger on the pulse of the lagoon, and it's complex. What is below the surface of the water? Yes, everyone understands that, down a couple of metres. But below the base of the lagoon itself is so complex. In language we can understand, how complex and why?
Yeah, well, I've never been down there and actually seen it with my own eyes, but there's all different kinds of pumps and pipes and everything else. It's 20 years old, as we know. Last year it was 21 years old this year. It's been 20 last year. So, you know, as things get older, you get concrete cracking, you get everything else, and you just got to check into it and re-concrete stuff. And so I'm not the engineer. I haven't been down there, but there's a whole bunch of activity. It's a big lagoon. It's a big pool. Everyone's got a pool in their backyard. And, you know, when you get a crack in the pool or something, how annoying it can be. Now imagine that across a lagoon with way more water, way bigger, way more people using it on a daily basis. So, yeah, it's just and anything that's got water associated with it, even a water fountain, anything that's got hydrology, it's just add a couple zeros to the end of anything you're spending on it. So it's a delicate operation, and they get outside contractors in to fix it up. So I don't know exactly every little thing they're doing down to the letter. I could find out, but that's, again, it's operational, so I kind of stay out of it. And I think some of the officers probably wish I stayed out of more of it. But like I said, I was just like, we get the questions, not the officers, saying, hey, why are you doing this? And I just said I'd find out, and I found out, and I've given you the answer there. So they did try really to delicately make sure we got in there. Because if once the Cairns Festival comes around, if that's still closed and we're getting everyone there, that's a bad look. So it's just, we'll see if in 2 years' time the dates line up and we can get it for all the holidays. So.
As I remember, the water has been constantly refreshed. Is that the case?
Yes. You don't want to leave it. And we've got chemicals and stuff in there as well. But because it's probably not good to advertise, but people go in there and do things. I've got a few mates of mine that are lifeguards down there, and they're always getting those brown sharks out of there,
No.
So, people do. Bad things at times. It's what happens. It's a big public pool, and you get people have a bath in there and do other stuff. So, the water gets refreshed a lot.
Well, you've just taken a step towards reducing the pressure of numbers.
Well, that's what the chemicals are for, right?
God.
I'll put my hand up. I've still been there with my kids, so it's got to be all right.
Yeah. Now, I've got to take it to another mile. This has just been put in front of me, and it's fairly complex. Please sign our petition regarding 179 Buchan Street. Do you know what this is about?
I had a chat to Luke this morning about it. So there's a DA, this development application happening there, and it's the neighbours and people in the street are upset about it, rightly so. You wouldn't want it next to your own house if it was you living there, but the fact of the matter is it's a code-accessible development. Mm. That area down Buchan Street is zoned for medium density residential. So, you got your low density, which is like a single detached dwelling, just a regular house, and you've got your medium density, which you can put apartments and that kind of stuff. And we don't really have much high density here in Cairns, but in Brisbane and stuff like that, when you talk about high density, you've got like 30-story apartment buildings and that kind of stuff. But that is, there's a development going in next door to a really beautiful house there. And the neighbours who I've been out and met with, lovely couple, and I feel for them, but there was no public notification because it doesn't have to be. It's totally code accessible. It fits within the planning scheme and the zone. It's just that it's the first cab off the rank. It's the first one of these to go in there. And there's already a bit of higher crime in the area. And it's like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And so then when you're the neighbour right next door and something like that goes in, it's heartbreaking for them. But it's... Mm-hmm. And because it's an active DA, I can't make too many comments this way or that way. But that's what's going on. There's a 3-story apartment. I think it's 10 or 11. Rooms going in there, and it's going to be a place where people are worried more crime's going to happen. There's lower socioeconomic people will be moving in there and all that. So I have met with the owners and I've talked to council about it. But there's not much that can be done. It's zoned for that kind of development, John. So it's just one of those things, I guess. It's sad.
In your position, being gagged on matters must be a particularly alien experience for somebody like you.
That's it. But with developments, it's always been this way. And I get it, because if I'm only making public comments or any councillor for a proposal or against it, it could be seen as trying to influence either the officers or get people rolled up against a proponent. And you set yourself up for a lawsuit, but we get to have our say on one when it gets voted on. Well, this one, I don't believe this one will be coming to council, but for the controversial ones that are impact or whatever, they come to council, we get to speak about and then and be open and then vote on it and argue and debate. But if we start getting ahead of the process and debating it, publicly now or anything else, we can put ourselves in a lot of hot water. So I get it there. I don't like being gagged with other stuff, but what's frustrating to me actually at the moment is there's so many exciting things going on that I can't say anything about that I've been, because now I'm deputy mayor, I'm in more meetings, at more tables, and there's some announcements that aren't councils to make that are coming up, and there's some other ones that are in confidence, but I can let the people of council know there is some exciting things coming, but that's the hardest thing for me because I love sharing good news.
Yeah.
And that's been the hardest part. It's like, because people say, this sucks, that sucks. And I'm like, I want to share this really good stuff too, but it's, got to be patient, but there's some good news coming over the next, 12 to 18 months. There's actually big announcements coming up. And like I said, some of them aren't even council's announcements to make, but I've just been in that room and heard what's going on. So, yeah.
Well, you can tell me off air after midday today, and I won't tell anyone. Brett?
I'll shoot you a text, John. Sure, you wouldn't tell anyone. You haven't got a radio show that everyone listens to.
Don't go away. Update on Double Island. I know it's a state matter, but you usually have your finger on the pulse.
Yeah, well, so Double Island, I actually saw an email. I was copied into an email the other day from someone from an organisation in Palm Cove writing to Craig Crawford and saying, hey, I'm going to get volunteers to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to send that. And the email came back about an hour later saying, please don't do that. Don't do anything. So I think Craig kind of got a big kick in the guts from the minister because he went out there a bit early. Well, he didn't really. He did, in my opinion, Craig did the right thing. He shared that great news with all and sundry. Took the Cairns Post over there, invited me, and that's what he's supposed to do. So I'll stand up for him, yeah? But the minister was like, you shouldn't have gone over there and told everyone this and that because now other people will go over and could, you know, abuse things.
Oh,
and I'm
rubbish.
Like, they could have done that anyway, mate. Mm-hmm. So he's gone a bit to ground because he's been wrapped over the knuckles saying, hey, don't do this and that. But no, I haven't heard anything further just yet, but I do believe they have a caretaker in mind so they can be over there to make sure that shenanigans don't take place. But no, I don't have any time frames or dates on when they're going to put it out to tender.
Okay, that was the main point. Oh, excellent update, Brett. Thank you. We've probably missed the next news and we nearly missed the midday news, but that's fine. Very important update. Thanks, Brett.
Have a good week. See ya.
That's our Deputy Mayor, Brett Oles. He's the Division 9 councillor up there in the Northern Beaches.